please remain risen as Cedric Farrell and Lonnie Mosley light our flaming chalice. It's back before the hymn, Carol. With humility and courage born of our history, we are called as Unitarian Universalists to build the beloved community where all souls are welcome as blessings and the human family lives whole and reconciled. With this vision in our hearts and minds, we light our chalice. And please remain risen and join me in affirming our covenant. Love guides this church. The quest for truth and justice is its common purpose, to give thanks, listen deeply, speak with care, honor our differences, and seek and grant forgiveness. These things we covenant with one another.
Please be seated. I'm going to play a piece next called Juba. It's from a thing called the In the Bottoms Suite by Nathaniel Dett, one of the foremost African-American composers of the last century. And so In the Bottoms was a place that the enslaved people could go to have what were officially Bible meetings, but they could do whatever they wanted, which very often was dance. And one of the popular dance forms was called the Juba Dance. And it had, of course, roots in Africa. And there are all kinds of versions of the Juba dance that came along after a while. I'm hoping you will join in some movement. So it's got a really simple rhythm that just maintains all the way through. So I'm going to show you a couple things you can do. Do whatever feels comfortable. The key thing is that you feel comfortable in what you're doing, not that you do it right. This is the basic one you can do. Great, you can do that. The other ones you need to stand up for. The others you need to stand up for if you're comfortable doing this. Don't worry, it's not complicated. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So those who'd like to move a little bit, you please feel free to stand up. This is called Patton Juba. So first, just walk. Loose knees. That's the basic step for Patton Juba. You can add to that a kind of body percussion. So I'll show you what that one is. Take my glasses off so I don't break them. And that goes. You're fantastic. Anything you want to do, Cedric is going to join me. Cedric will play the pattern. Here we go, Cedric. I'll start playing, do whatever you want to do. Thank you.
young at heart who would... Well, now that you're awake, it's the time for all ages. Everyone young and young at heart, I invite you to come forward and join me on the steps of the chancel. Come on down. It's good to see everybody this morning. Hi, honey. How are you?
Good.
So, who here has heard of something called the Underground Railroad? Lots of you. Okay. Who knows what it is?
Mm-hmm. A railroad underground?
A railroad underground. Well, you would think so, but not quite. Yes. What is it?
It was this small organization that, took
So it was an organization of people who helped enslaved people get to freedom. Yeah, that's exactly right. So the Underground Railroad, just imagine, if you will, in houses all the way from the South, where slavery was legal, to the North, and even Canada, where slavery was no longer legal, all these houses and these lines going up north, and enslaved people would escape from where they had been enslaved and jump from house to house every evening, making their way sometimes hundreds of miles north toward freedom. So a lot of people escaped slavery this way, but there were many more who never got the chance or who were caught and returned to the plantations and shops that they tried to escape from. And for those who never made it to freedom, there was often only one place where they could gather just with one another, away from their enslavers, where they could get a taste of freedom, and that place was the church meeting. Enslaved people of all ages would gather, usually at night, under the cover of the woods, where their overseers were not likely to find them. And they would tell religious stories, and they would sing hymns and pray together, and perhaps most importantly, as we just did together, they would dance together, moving their bodies however they wished, tapping into forbidden feelings and hopes and dreams. And in this way, dance itself was a really powerful form of resistance, a way to guard and feed the freedom that was alive in their hearts. And so in this spirit of resistance and freedom, Roger Delahunty will be teaching us all a chant and dance based on the poem about the freedom train that the adults are going to hear later on in the service. So I turn things over to you, Roger.
Okay, this is congregation participation. So we're going to start out with this group over here, starting all the way back. Choo!
were saying, Lord, Lord. So I invite all of our children and youth heading for their religious education classes and their teachers to rise and recess to go to those classes. And I invite the congregation to sing a blessing to them as they go.
So much. Have a seat.
Good morning. My name is Lonnie Mosley, and our Unitarian Universalist faith draws from many sources, including humanist, Christian, and Jewish teachings. The words of prophetic people in many times and places, and wisdom from other traditions. Each Sunday, we hear from many of them, but the first source of our liberal faith is our own personal experience of life. This morning, it is my honor to share some of my experiences as it relates to the topic of freedom. You know, Black History Month has been interesting with the movies out, like Green Book, which is that guidebook used by African Americans when traveling in the South to navigate segregation and the Ku Klux Klan. And there are other movies out, you know, about African Americans dealing with racism. I don't remember so many movies in the past and being praised like they are now. For me, growing up, it wasn't until my 20s that I understood how much my parents protected me and my brothers from experiencing racism. One example was in the fourth grade when my report card from my Catholic school was sent home with a D in reading. Only as an adult did I find out that my mother almost brought down the Catholic Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It was obviously wrong, the grade, since in fourth grade I was reading at a seventh grade level. But a new nun teaching at the school had decided I couldn't have been the straight A student I appeared to be in other classes. But after my mother went all mama bear on the diocese, that particular nun said that she realized she had mistaken me for another student and would correct my grade to an A. I couldn't appreciate this until later, that my free and smooth sailing through the world without experiencing or being aware of racism had been carefully curated by my beautiful mother. She had grown up not being able to go to a public movie theater or a restaurant in Philadelphia. The only time a tiny piece of information was revealed about racism was whenever we kids balked at doing our homework. Then Mom would say in an intense and righteous voice, "Do you know that on the plantation your great-grandfather was taught to read with the white children? He was almost killed because he was given the skills of a white man. You take for granted being able to read, being able to go anywhere you want." So when I was 18 years old, at the June high school graduation party of one of my friends, her cousin, a boy who wasn't in our school, came up to me being the only black person in the room, and wanted to talk about Martin Luther King, who had been killed the previous April. I mostly listened as this guy told me how Dr. King had hurt our country. Then he said, "Look, I'm not a racist, but..." And you know when a sentence begins, "I'm not a racist, but..." There's nothing good coming after that sentence. He said, "I'm not a racist, but if a black man shot my father, I would go out and kill the first black man I saw." Now, this was so curious to me, and I asked quite innocently, "And if a white man shot your father, would you go out and kill the first white man that you saw?" The boy just glared at me and walked away. But I was shaken. After that incident, I began to study in earnest the history of African Americans. Growing up in my family, there had been no family conversations about the atrocities of slavery, segregation, Jim Crow laws, or lynchings. I wept reading the stories of endurance, suffering, faith, and unwavering commitment to freedom. So when I found UUCB and Unitarian Universalism, I felt like a kid in a spiritual candy shop. Here was a religion that loudly affirmed its belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. A religion that didn't use God against me. And most importantly, this church had people who wanted to be woke. I discovered that Unitarians had helped start the ACLU, the Red Cross, and even the NAACP. I was finally home. And it was here at UUCB that a deep part of me revealed itself, and a part of me that I had no idea was there. It was at a membership signing meeting, and potential new members were reading a document that I had created called The Benefits and Responsibilities of Membership. One of the women looked up from the reading and asked me, "What does this mean? At UUCB, you can own yourself." I said, "What?" She said, "Yes, right here," and pointed to the page. "It says one of the benefits of membership is that at UUCB, you can own yourself." And then she handed me the paper to look. I read the sentence and thought, "Oh dear God, those are the words of somebody who's been enslaved. I don't remember writing them." And I knew I had done it because I had made multiple copies. So, of course, in the meeting, I covered up and said, oh, that's a typo. It should say UUCB owns itself. You know, UUs make their own decisions. There's no pope or bishop telling us what to believe or how to act in church. But to this day, I don't remember writing those words. And I don't know the name of the woman in me who cried out on that document. But I love her. I can feel her deeply, and why I am so uncompromising about all of us here seeing the freedom we have as Unitarian Universalists to be ourselves, to affect change, to help free others, and to honor without fear this precious gift called freedom.
Thank you.
Now is the time in our service that we set aside for quiet, for meditation, for contemplation. So I invite you in this time to do whatever it is you need to do to be most present to this one moment, which is the only moment. Perhaps by unclenching your hands, placing feet flat on the floor, closing your eyes, perhaps by taking a breath, noticing how it fills your lungs, letting that breath go, and thinking of all of the others who breathe with you. Let us now enter into a moment of quiet, grateful for the sonic evidence of life in our midst, grateful to be in solitude together. Spirit of life, oneness in all and in whom all are one. We give thanks for the gift of this day, for the fellowship of all gathered here, for the love and support we find in such a joyful and holy place as this. Thank you for this community of tender care and support, this community where we are loved just the way we are, but too much to let us stay that way. We are thankful for the buoyancy of life's many joys and blessings, but we also carry within us deep concern, sadness, grief, worry. There are many people who need our thoughts and prayers today, friends and loved ones of ours who are in particular need. Today we hold tenderly in our hearts and thoughts Richie Dawkins, who is in the hospital at UC Davis in Sacramento for inflammation in his optic nerve. We pray for the whole Oakland community as its public school teachers union continues its strike for fair pay and adequate resources and supplies for their students. As the United Methodist Church gathers in convention to discuss a way forward into being a more inclusive and loving church, we here today lift up all lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and gender nonconforming people who have been wounded by churches and continue to be wounded by having their worthiness and humanity be a topic of debate. We also lift up this congregation and the ways we've not always been our best selves in our journey toward freedom, and the ways that our liberal religious traditions have harmed us and marginalized people and communities in our work to get free together. For all those mentioned aloud and those voiced in the solitude of our hearts, we pray for healing, peace, and strength in the knowledge that in this faith community, we are not alone. As the face of the earth is renewed with each morning, renew in us faith in the unconquerable power of courageous love. Help us seek not only our own freedom, but the freedom of others in the knowledge that we all need all of us to get free. These and all of the thanks and praise and needs of our own hearts, we pray for love's sake. Amen. I invite you to remain seated as we join in singing, "There is a balm in Gilead."
I'd like to introduce you a wonderful musician, a singer, a pianist, comfortable in classical and opera, and also who's got a specialty in spirituals. This is Alex Tate, who's going to talk a little bit about the hidden messages in spirituals. Are you comfortable talking here?
Yeah, I'll bring you over.
Or afternoon, I don't know. The Negro spiritual is my first introduction into music. It was what inspired me to pursue music as a career. I joined a choir when I was 15 and was exposed to the Negro spiritual in choral music, mainly doing the works of Moses Hogan and Jacqueline Harrison. And it was an experience that I couldn't really understand why or how, but it affected me at a very visceral level from the very beginning. The Negro spiritual spoke to me, spoke to my spirit. And it did so in a way that I still to this day don't fully comprehend. But I understand the spiritual now in a much more historical context, and I, in my studies, have learned that the Negro spiritual is alive, and that's why it speaks so clearly, so purely to the heart, to the soul. The spiritual is a conglomeration of cultures from Africa, where music wasn't entertainment, it wasn't for passive experience. Music was a shared experience by the whole culture, by the whole community. Whoever was there was doing the music with each other. There was no observing.
You bring that spiritual connection to music here, and you overlay a completely different level of religion on top of it. You have the initial, the sprouts of what the spiritual means. It is two cultures converging under the most unspeakable level of oppression and disgusting treatment. And out of that mire and muck comes this beautiful art form, this combining of cultures that continued to grow and to develop. And it grew from being a cultural experience to being an encouragement, to being something to at least pass the time. And eventually it evolved during the Underground Railroad into something that was established as the way we did it, but also had hidden meanings within the lyrics as the Underground Railroad became more and more established. These songs began to have meaning. If you can imagine, the lyrics are very simple, but they have a lot of imagery. They're very vivid. What might some of these lyrics mean if you are maybe in the woods right outside the fence line and you hear Deep River? Or you're coming along near the road and you hear This Little Light of Mine. I'm gonna let it shine. What might that mean if you're being chased? Now I'm going to share with you a piece of music that I arranged. I have several that I'm going to share today. And if you stay after service, there'll be a small recital with a majority of them. This is my arrangement of Deep River. And while you hear it, while you listen, imagine what these lyrics might mean in other contexts than just here in this church.
Deep River, my home is over Jordan. Oh, deep river, my Lord, I want to cross over into campground. Deep river, my home is over Jordan. Oh, deep river, my Lord, I want to cross over into campground. Oh, don't you want to go to that gospel feast, that land where all
Testing. This is where my grandmother would say, by and by, you'll get this going. By and by is one of those grandmother words. I read in the papers about the Freedom Train. I heard on the radio about the Freedom Train. I seen folks talking about the Freedom Train. Lord, I've been waiting for the Freedom Train. Washington, Richmond, Durham, Chattanooga, Atlanta, way across Georgia. Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord, way down in Dixie, the only trains I sees got a Jim Crow coaches set aside for me. I hope there ain't no Jim Crow on the Freedom Train. No backdoor entrance to the Freedom Train. No sign for colored for on the Freedom Train. No white folks only on the Freedom Train. I'm gonna check up on this Freedom Train. Who is the engineer on this Freedom Train? Can a cold black man drive the Freedom Train? Or am I still a porter on the Freedom Train? Is there ballot boxes on the Freedom Train? Do colored folks vote on the Freedom Train? When it stops in Mississippi, will it be made plain? Everybody's got a right to board the Freedom Train. I'm gonna check up on this Freedom Train. The Birmingham station's marked colored and white. The white folks go left and the colored go right. They even got a segregated lane. Is that the way to get aboard the Freedom Train? I'm gonna check up on this Freedom Train. If my children ask me, Daddy, please explain why Jim Crow stations for the Freedom Train, what should I tell my children? You tell me. 'Cause freedom ain't freedom when a person ain't free. My brother named Jimmy died in Anzio. He died for real, and it wasn't no show. Is this your freedom on the freedom train? Really freedom? Or a show again? Now let the freedom train come zooming down the track, glooming in the sunlight for white and black. Not stopping at no stations marked colored or white. Just stopping in the fields in the broad daylight. Stopping in the country in the wide open air, where there never was a Jim Crow sign, nowhere. And no lily white committees, politicians of note, nor poll tax lawyer, layer through which colored can't vote. And there won't be no kind of colored lines. The freedom train will be yours and mine. Then maybe from their graves in Anzio, black folks and white will say, we want it so. Black folks and white will say, ain't it fine? At home, they got a freedom train. A freedom train that's yours and mine. Thank you, Langston Hughes. No ribbon. Thank you. Good one.
When we hear the word freedom, especially during Black History Month, I think a lot of us think about it in terms of slavery or the civil rights movement. Maybe we envision the Underground Railroad. Maybe we envision that freedom train. Maybe we think of the Emancipation Proclamation, the winning of the Civil War, the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Perhaps we even think of famous individuals who have worked for freedom, people like Martin Luther King Jr. or Harriet Tubman or Malcolm X. The end of the national institution of slavery, the Civil Rights Act, other battles won for freedom and justice, and the contributions of now well-known Black leaders in the quest for freedom are all tremendously important. And yet, I think we leave something out when we envision freedom only in such national, legislative, singular terms. Because when we think of freedom only in these ways, freedom is something that happened for somebody else. We miss how the freedoms that matter to each of us are tied up with the freedoms that matter to everyone. I can still remember the inner change I experienced when I first encountered Nelson Mandela's ideas in seminary. Because his work to end apartheid in South Africa was rooted in the idea that liberation benefits everyone, every single person, even the people who had seemingly benefited from the status quo. He taught that while the purpose of his movement was to liberate blacks from apartheid's crushing oppression, apartheid's end also liberated white people from the role of the oppressor, that this terrible system had prescribed for them. This idea caused a paradigm shift inside of me. It changed me because it was the first time that I, as a white person, began to understand the harm that racism and white supremacy was doing, even to me. It was the first time I understood that freedom is being hampered and prevented, not just by some collection of individuals or unjust laws or separate prejudices somewhere out there, but by a whole system that shapes the value that human beings perceive within one another. It was the first time I began to think of freedom as something that takes all of us working for it in order for all of us to have it. Lilla Watson, an Indigenous Australian, puts it this way: if you have come here to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let's work together. It seems like a lot of people think of freedom like it's pie. If too many other people get theirs, no more slices will be left for me. But freedom is not like pie. It is not going to run out because more people get it. We do not lose any of our freedom when other people get free. In fact, we are more likely to lose our freedom whenever others are less free. Because if our government can put some babies in cages because of a false narrative about their migrant parents at our southern border, how long until our government writes a false narrative about you, about me, and puts my babies in cages? If people will believe a lie about me and believe it so deeply that they will harm me because of it, it will not take much for them to believe a lie about you. And anytime our society buys into the lie that some people are not as precious, are not as filled with dignity, are not as beautiful and human as others, the safety and freedom of every single person in our society is chipped away little by little. No, freedom ain't like pie. Say it with me. Freedom ain't like pie. My freedom, your freedom, your freedom, your freedom, your freedom. All of our freedom is strengthened, it's grown, it's magnified anytime anyone else gets more free. My well-being is tied up with yours. My freedom, my safety is tied up with yours. And because of this, as award-winning writer Toni Morrison tells her students, it's our job, all of our jobs, to help others get free. She said, when you get these jobs you have been so brilliantly trained for, just remember that your real job is that if you are free, you need to free somebody else. If you have some power, then your job is to empower somebody else. This is not just a grab bag candy game. So, my beloved people, where are the places in your life where you are not free? How does our world limit you from being you in the fullness of who you are? How does our world limit you from doing what you are called in this life to do? Are you free at school? Are you free at work? Are you free with your family? Are you free in this church? What roles does the system want you to play that you want to break free from? Now, Alex is about to sing another song for us, a song about God troubling waters that have been still and placid for too long. So, my siblings and sisters and brothers, may the power of love, the spirit of freedom, trouble the waters wherever in your life freedom is being denied to you, barred from you, not available to you, wherever you cannot be you in the fullness of who you are. Because you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You are beloved to me. I need you. We all need you so that we can all get on that freedom train and get to freedom together. Amen.
Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Well, who's that yonder all dressed in white? God's gonna trouble the water. It looks like the children of the Israelites. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Well, who's that yonder all dressed in red? God's gonna trouble the water. It looks like the children that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, God's gonna trouble the water. Just follow me down to that Jordan stream. Oh, God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble. I said, God's gonna trouble. God's gonna trouble the water.
It is the practice, it is the practice of this congregation to share our generosity with partners in the larger community. Today, part of our offering will go to reaching our young ladies so that we can help in the difference they are making in our wider communities. Reaching our young ladies, or ROYLs for short, raises community awareness through educational presentations about the harmful effects of human trafficking. They work both to help prevent human trafficking and offer a safe and nurturing environment for trafficking victims. Your offering today will go to help Royals in renewing victims' self-esteem and providing skills and resources as they re-enter the workforce. The offering will now be given and received with gratitude.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. I'm a long ways from home. I'm a long, long way from home. Sometimes I feel like I can't go on. Sometimes I feel like I can't go on. Sometimes I feel like I can't go on. And I'm alone ways from home. I'm a long, long way from home. And sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. And I'm a long ways from home. I'm a long, long ways from home. But sometimes I feel like I'm all wrapped in love. Sometimes I feel like I'm all wrapped up in your love. Lord, sometimes I feel like I'm all wrapped in your love, and I'm a long ways from home. I'm a long, 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 long. I'm a long, 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 long way.
Thank you, Alex and Brian. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in dedicating our offering to the mission of this congregation. We dedicate this offering and ourselves to the mission of this congregation to create loving community, inspire spiritual growth, and encourage lives of integrity, joy, and service. Please be seated. So I have just a few announcements. Next Saturday morning at March 2nd, a work party starts at 8:30 a.m. with a hot breakfast. Please come help make our church look its best. We will work until noon, but you can come anytime and stay as long or short as you like. Sign up in the atrium so we can plan. Then Saturday evening, reward yourself with a concert of works by Beethoven and Mozart. The UU Church of San Francisco Choir will join our choir and this Kensington Symphony Orchestra for this fundraising concert, which starts at 7:30 p.m. Finally, next Sunday, March 3rd, the Stewardship Campaign Pledge Drive kicks off with a congregational luncheon. Join us to launch the campaign and add your generosity to support UCB's value in providing sanctuary, sustenance, and service. Please plan to make your pledge for 2019-2020 during the month of March. Our next hymn, this Left Every Voice and Sing, is one number 149, and Cordell will introduce this hymn.
Oh, say, can you see America, America?
So you get a feeling. Yep. We sing, lift every voice and sing like that, like you sing America, America, with the same unrestrained, ecstatic energy. This song, like those, represents so much. It, for me, represents an essential biography of the African-American journey, but made succinct by song. From anguish to hope, suggesting the determined drive toward the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Sing this song with abandon. Try to imagine faith and hope being taught by dark past. Then facing a rising sun and a new day begun. Right there, you should let it rip. You're leading the letting it rip. Acknowledge how the phrases can aptly refer to experiences in your own life. You are not at my side singing with me about my history. Right now, this is about each of us with experiences that demanded that we cultivate and bear witness to the glorious spirit we come from, and the enduring vitality of spirit resurging in our continuing march on. We are singing about a burning force that operates without ceasing to turn lead into gold, Replace dark with light, sorrow with joy. But for my part, this means everything about my people in this country, so I will not allow us to sing it sleepily. Not that you would. Revel in your own rejoicing display of spirit. Sing out. I ask you to sing in a way that shows that you know there is still a plight for too many of us. Daily, the bombs are still bursting in air. Many of you have your own active striving. Hold your march in your heart. Hold your memories of past champions and acknowledge that struggle still goes on, and hold up your hopes as well. When I sing, I'm going to let it rip. You should too. Sing your song with such an energy that you will feel it echoing inside for the rest of the day. Amen. Lift every voice and sing.
beloved people, please join your hands or link your elbows or somehow physically connect yourself with someone else in this congregation. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. As the waves of freedom wash over us, each and all, in this beautiful and broken country that we share. As the waves of freedom carry us out toward the land we all dream about, let us lift every voice, and sing and rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
And now our worship has ended, and our service begins. Amen.